All right, so this morning we will do a wrap on our series that we started 4 weeks ago, and we'll look at the last part of it, which is basically the theme of the campaign, Each One Reach One. So that's the title of the sermon this morning, Each One Reach One. If you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, we'll start reading from verse 3 and 4, and then we'll build it up from there. If you have a Bible, say, All right, let's go there. The Bible says, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Verse 4, but he needed to go through Samaria. Let's pause there and let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that, Father, as we get into your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher, may you guide us through your word, teach us in your word. Father, we open our hearts, we open our ears, we want to hear your voice. We ask that, Lord, you speak to us. We want to hear your instructions, your insights. We ask to be guided by your word. We thank you, Father, that as your word is being preached, Lord, we'll receive it in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, so there we read, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now, we have to pause here because why does he have to go through Samaria? So we have to backtrack because in the preceding chapters, chapter 1, he was in by the river Jordan. Remember, this is where John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. Okay? Then in chapter 2, we see him at a wedding in Cana, where he's having a wedding. He's going to a wedding. Cana and Nazareth is just nearby. It's about 8 km. So he goes to Nazareth. From Nazareth, he goes to Cana for a wedding. So there is a picture there for the map. You see Galilee on the other side on top there. There's Nazareth and there's Cana just on top there, very short distance. And then later on in the same chapter, chapter 2, we see Jesus going to Capernaum. Okay, that is where he was stationed most of the time, Capernaum on top there. You see Galilee there. So this is now in chapter 4, we are hearing that he is in Judea. But he needed to go through Judea. But how did he get to Judea? Because there's Samaria in between. So he didn't go through Samaria. He must have taken another route. All right. But what happened here? What is the story behind all this? So we have to go back to history. This whole place in the times of the kings, it was all Israel. It was one part, one region. But later on, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, when later on divided the country, the nation, the kingdom, then on top there, Samaria going up there was called the Northern Kingdom of Israel. The Northern Kingdom of Israel, those are 10 tribes of Israel. Then below here, where you see Judea, is where the Southern Kingdom was. That is where Judah and the tribe of Benjamin was. Okay, so that's what you see there. Now, Judea was called Judah. Okay, so later on was given a name by the Greeks, Judea. And in Judea, the capital was Jerusalem. And up there, up north, their capital was Samaria. But later on, over history, as it was divided, the Assyrians came in and took over the northern part. They were overthrown. And that is how now the whole region was now under the Assyrian empire. And that is why now that city was now called, the whole place there now, Samaria was called now Samaria, okay? It was called Samaria. That's what happened there. Now, the people who were intermarriage with the Assyrians were called, with the Jews, were called Samaritans. Okay? There were intermarriage that was going on. They were called Samaritans. And that is why now these people on the southern side, Judea, had they had now created an hostility with these people who are intermarried with the Assyrians, who are called Samaritans, and that is where that hostility was. They were now divided, if you like. That is why Jesus doesn't use that route. In fact, in the time of Jesus or the Jews, this type below here, they never used to use Samaria most of the time. They would actually use Jordan. If you see there on top, they use Jordan, use the other side, avoiding this whole part. But now Jesus is in Judea. How is he in Judea? Because he was there attending the Passover. There was a feast of the Passover the feast of the Jews called the Passover. That is why he is here. So now he needs to go back to Galilee. What does he do? He says, this time in chapter 4, I'm going through Samaria. All right. So now let's build our case from here and you see what happens later on. So let's go to scriptures. Let's go to verse 5. Go to verse 5 with me and we'll see how this whole story will unfold. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being worried from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So the sixth hour, you have to remember, the Jews are counting 6 in the morning as first hour. Okay, so the sixth hour is 12 o'clock. It's in the afternoon. So he sat there. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me?" You see there? That hostility going on, because he's thinking, we're not the same. You're not supposed to ask water from me, a Samaritan woman. For Jews have no dealings with who? Samaritans. The people here, they were called half-breed, because of that. Says we have no connection. Notice Jesus here now, as we go to verse 10, he doesn't even pay attention to our charges. He doesn't pay attention to all what he's saying. Jesus now, at this moment, when he asks, "Give me a drink," he's beginning to communicate with her. But it was on a surface level. He starts by introducing what I would say a transaction. A transaction. "Give me a drink. I want to transact with you." Jesus answered, 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,'" transactional, "you would have asked him and he would have given you" what? "Living waters." At this moment now, the woman now is interested to get into the conversation. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living waters?" Now she's getting excited. It's like, okay, there's a promise to what you've told me. There's going to be living waters that will come from here. We're going to transact. I give you water, you give me living waters. Where is it? All right. Then it says this, 12. "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So Jesus is talking about everlasting life. Then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirsty nor come to draw." 16. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Notice here, in this, when Jesus is saying that, he's now turning the transaction conversation, which was very surface, he turns it into what I call an interaction. They say this about business people. They say good business people are people who are able to turn a transaction into an interaction. Then you are doing good. You are successful. So this is what Jesus is doing now. He's turning it. He's building a connection from there. 17. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. In other words, he says, you are right. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you have spoken truly. He says, you had five failed relationships. That's what Jesus is saying. You had five. But now even the one you have is not even your husband. Now see, as this now connection is building, and it has built to a level where, we'll jump some scriptures because of time, as this now is gotten to a point where they have moved from a surface level, from an interaction, they are now connected at a deeper level, they're talking about deep things. Let's see what happens in verse 27 and 28. Just move in front, we'll move about 10 verses there. Let's go to 10 to 27. At this point, the disciples came and they marveled, so they were surprised that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, so she went back into Sychar, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things I've ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Notice now, the woman has become a connection between Jesus and the city, Samaria. Why? It's because now she has gotten a connection. She's beginning to see that there's more to this Jesus. There's more to this conversation. She becomes the catalyst of the good news in the city of Samaria. So the men now go. In other words, the woman becomes a witness to what she received from Jesus. So she goes now, she tells the city, and the people come to see Jesus. And notice what happens now after she does that. This woman, remember, she was going to the well by herself. Normally in any culture or in any space, when you are going to draw water, at least you go, especially during the day. You carry somebody along with you. You know, in our culture, the women will be going to the well. They'll be singing, you know, with the other women. You know, they're going to draw water. But this woman goes by herself because there's something that is not right. And she does it during the day at noon. But now she goes back. The same people that she was avoiding, now she's going back to the city to speak to them. And then the city comes there. Now look what happens after she has spoken and now people have come to there. Verse 39. Let's jump to 39. Go to 39. So 39, this is where... And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in who? Him, Jesus. Because of the word of the Samaritan who testified. So she testified about him. He told me all I ever did. 40. When the Samaritans had come to him, they argued Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Notice, each one reaching one. Jesus just reaching one woman. He stays in the city 2 more days. And many believed because of his word. So the city now is being transformed. Why? Because of one woman who Jesus met by the well. Listen, one is never a small number. It's never a small number that you can never make a difference. One is never a small number that you can never make a difference. Just you, one person, can make a difference. You see, it can take only one person to bring revolution in a nation. One person. Only one decision can change everything about your life. You see, one person can start and becomes a bigger generation. One person. Just one smile that you make can make you become a wife. Just one smile. Just one. Just one smile can change everything. Just one decision that you make can change your trajectory of your life. If you go in the book of Ruth, there's a woman called Ruth, and she decided to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she says, where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people shall become my people. Your God shall become my God. And from there, that decision she made and followed Naomi, what happened? Boaz came into space. Maybe all you need is to make a decision and you'll find your Boaz. Just one decision. Not just Boaz. Even when she found Boaz, the great thing that happened is that through her, you have David. Through David, you have Jesus. Why? Because of one decision she made. One decision can change your life. Just one decision. You don't have to make a lot of decisions. One good investment decision can make the betterment of your life. Just one. So when each one reaches one, Jesus reached the one person and the city was transformed. The city was never the same. Just one. Listen, just one appearance. Just one appearance can get you a job. Just one good appearance can get you a job. Listen, don't go to a job and see. Men see, this is what they say. Say, men see before they hear you. So your appearance speaks before your wisdom comes out. So if you're going for an interview, you're going in a yellow suit and... You're going in a yellow suit and the red, the happy socks. Your appearance itself will deter people. Not because they don't want you. You have a lot of wisdom, you're smarter, but your appearance takes it away. So one appearance can get you a job. And one appearance can make you lose a job. Your appearance. You see, it's only God who sees from the inside. Man sees the outside. That's what the Bible says. So we see you before we hear you. How do we see you? Your presentation. Your presentation. The way you carry yourself. So one decision can change your life. Listen, the same one decision can destroy your life. Do you remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter 13 of a man called Ammon and had a friend called Jonadab? Do you remember that story? Jonadab gave us an advice to Ammon and says, Ammon, you feel you're in love with Tamar, your sister, your half-sister. You know what you do? Pretend you're sick. And ask your dad that your sister should come and give you porridge. And then he goes in there. What happens? He defiles the sister. That decision that he made, it was so terrible that later on, Absalom becomes so upset and begins to scheme and finding a way to kill his half-brother. One decision. So one bad friend can destroy your life. Just one bad friend. So you have to be careful who you hang around with. Who pours into you. Just one can mess you up. Your whole life is destroyed because of one person. So we have to be careful. So one decision changed. Just one interaction changed the whole city of Samaria. One powerful prayer can break everything in your life. Just one good, powerful prayer that is linked to God's word. Amen. So that's what happened. We see in Samaria, that's what happened when Jesus reached the one person. Now let's go back to chapter 1 and see also some of the people that Jesus interacted with and what happened to those people. So let's turn there. Chapter 1, verse 35. We'll go all the way up to 48. Again, the next day, John stood with the two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, translated, "Teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. So remember, the 10th hour now is about what time? 16 hours, 4 p.m. One of the two who heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew. So followed who? Followed Jesus. Andrew followed Jesus, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew reaching out to who? Simon Peter, to Peter. So he reached out to Peter. One person reaching out to another. So he reached out to a person proximity, to a person closer to him. And he brings him to Jesus. And later on, this Peter, in the book of Acts chapter 2, is the one who preaches a powerful sermon. And how many people get saved? 3,000 people get saved. Why? It all started by one connection. By one connection. Andrew. Andrew didn't even see that this is the same Peter that is going to preach a sermon that changes, you know, lives coming to Jesus. But it was just one connection doing that. When each one reaches one. Now when Jesus looked at him and he said, that's now, we are still on 42. At him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah, who you shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. That's what we did in chapter 4. And he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip, from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, now 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophet wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So here is Philip bringing in who? Nathanael. Also reaching out to somebody. Then 46 says, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israel indeed, in whom there is no deceit." 48. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Because Philip did that. Jesus had already seen it, but Philip took the action. Each one reaching one. You see, Andrew reached out to Peter. Now, Philip was reaching out to Nathanael. Each one reaching out to another. You see, that's the whole reason. You see, the most important thing about reaching out is not about finding people we just don't know. It's also about finding people we know. We find people that we know so that we are connected to all of us. You see, people grow based when they are connected. People grow based when they are connected. When each one of us reaches out to the other person, we grow based in community. And that is exactly what's happening. You see, the goal is not just to meet and connect and have conversation. The goal is to mature. Remember our vision statement. Our mission statement is that we share Christ. So where do we share Christ? We share Christ when we are seated together. We are sharing Christ. And as we are sharing Christ, we mature. When we mature, then we go and change our city, our sphere of influence. We change the nation. We change the world by us doing life with one another. Each one doing the part. That's a goal of connecting. That's a goal of making sure that each person reaches out to connect with the other person. It's about making disciples for Jesus. It's about making disciples for Jesus. When we reach each other, then we grow, then we mature. Jesus demonstrated that. He showed us that. The city was transformed. The same way Andrew did it. The same way Philip did it. We can did it also. Amen. We can do it. All right. So we can all find somebody to reach. We can all find somebody to reach, whether they'll be in your proximity or whether they are very far from you. Whether there are things that you have hostility with, we can still reach out. And when each one reaches one, there is transformation. There is transformation. You can be transformed. Now let's go to the last part of it. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Each one reaching one. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we all, that is why we have to connect. Until we all come to the unity of faith, we all grow, we all are maturing. Why should we all grow to this measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ? 14 tells us, says that we should no longer be what? Children. What do children do? The foreign verse tells us what they do. Tossed to and from what? And they're carried about from every wind of doctrine. So these children, that's what they do. They hop from here to there. They're never stable. It's scripture, it's not me. Don't throw stones. He says, they are carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It says, no. It's when we do life, we are connected, we are in these places, we grow, we become better. It says we won't be tossed. Look, there's a lot of doctrine out there. And most of it is bad doctrine. But when you are seated with one another, you hear perspectives and God's word in a different light and you grow. You see, one perspective can also change your life. Just hearing one person and says, you are sitting there, and one person says, you know what? This, that, like we heard from Martha and Chisomo, just hearing their word and all that changes your perspective. When you thought like, what? I'm struggling here. This sickness or this issue, I can't even find money. But one perspective, just one person saying something, it changes your perspective. Your light bulb comes on. And then you say, what? I believe now. Your growth changes one perspective. Amen. Just one. So here he says, until we all grow. Notice the go again in this scripture. He says, until we all come to the unity of faith. All, not one. All. We all come to there. Spiritual growth happens, again I'll say it, spiritual growth happens in communities, not in isolation. In the book of Acts chapter 2, you saw verse 42, you say they met together after they met at the temple, and what happens? They broke bread where? In their houses. And then they grew. And then the verse after that it says, and the word of God did what? Grew. Why? It's because when people were doing life, when each one was meeting another person, there was growth. And then the ripple effect of that is that God's word spread in that city. Amen. So the church matures when each one reaches one. I want to give you an update on the last 4 weeks of what's been happening with this campaign. So I want to put it on the screen right there. So in the last 4 weeks, we had 1,052 people signed up to join Connection Group. This is a good time just to clap and celebrate. Amen. So it means that these people were not connected. Now they are connected. Amen. But now from this number, we have 335 that have started attending CG. Praise God. Each one reaching one. So 300, which represents about 35%, somewhere there, 33% of that number. They are now in CG. All right. Now, if you haven't been, you've signed up, you're among the 1,052, you've signed up, but they haven't reached you. We haven't reached you. Not they. Who's they? We haven't reached out to you. You know what you need to do? You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. Just come on the table outside and then say, you know what? I signed up. I want to be among the 330. I want to be the 36. I want to be the 37. All right? You can take initiative. You don't have to wait and say, they said they will call. No, it's a good thing. Yes, we said that. And we're obligated to do that. But you can take initiative and say, I am going to go. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That's what mature people do. They don't wait. They take action. All right? If you're waiting, we are worried. So reach out and say, hey, I want to connect this week. I want this coming week, starting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. CG, I need to be in one CG. Whether it's far from me, but let me start. Let me get connected. Let me see how it happens there. Let me get started. You don't have to wait. Amen. So we'll do that at the end of the service. Then we can all get connected. Listen, I want to give you now an assignment. So you can get your notebook. And let's have some action to what we're saying. All right. So Jesus reached out to one person. Philip reached out to Nathaniel. Andrew reached out to Peter. I want you to write a name that you're going to reach out to. So get your note and write it down. And says, I'm going to reach out to this person. Reach out in love. Pray about it. Reach out and let them. Then after that, follow it up. Don't just reach out and once. Oh, says like the way it says, come and see. Philip did say, come and see. You also can say, come and see what happens at the CG, at a connection group level. Come and see. And then their lives will never be the same. Remember I said, one decision, only it takes is one decision and changes everything about your life. Amen. Amen. Can we do that? Yes. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks, our God, who is our Father. Thank you, Father, that you want us to live life that is well connected. We grow, we mature. We come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. And that, Lord, happens when we are doing life with others. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that each one of us who is here this morning, this as we are transitioning in the afternoon, that, Lord, we will take this word and we will connect and we won't wait. But, Lord, we take action. We thank you, Father.